Back to our lead international news item this morning. An Assyrian government inquest into the Hula massacre has cleared itself and any government forces of involvement in the atrocity. This directly contradicts eyewitness reports that the women and children were murdered by government-backed Alawite militias from a neighbouring town. Syria's ambassador to the UN, Bashar Jafari, spoke to journalists in New York.
The Syrian government is drastically against this heinous and appalling crime. It's more than a crime. It's a massacre.
Our correspondents on the ground have been to the villages where these crimes were committed, and they know, they've been told by eyewitnesses, exactly where these perpetrators came from. They could be picked up today. They could have been picked up yesterday. Why have a commission?
Because we are in a respectable state. We are not a banana republic. We need an investigation. We need to go through the law. Those who have testimonies, let them share what they have as information with the Syrian government. Do it this way, rather than smuggling your correspondence, illegally speaking, into Syrian territory.
That's the Syrian ambassador to the UN, Bashar Jafari, speaking overnight. We've been looking at this issue this morning on Breakfast. Earlier, I spoke with Jonathan Speier from Israel's Centre for Global Research in International Affairs. Here's his reaction to the Syrian government's claim that it was not involved in the Hula massacre.
Well, this is very familiar, a pattern of behaviour and statements from the Syrian regime. Of course, 12,000 people have died over the last 14 months, and the regime consistently has denied connections to the killings, has tried to blame armed terrorists, is the usual phrase that it uses. Of course, Human Rights Watch and other organisations have been inside in Syria, have done work on the ground, and have seen exactly who's responsible for the killings and how they took place, the patterns of activities of the army and the Shabiha paramilitaries as they go through the towns carrying out the killings. So this is really beyond thin in terms of an excuse from the regime.
It's interesting alliances being formed here. I mean, some of the people you want to help who are aligned with Hamas in Gaza, and of course that's the direct enemy, if you like, of Israel.
Well, that's absolutely correct. I think from a strategic point of view, as opposed to a humanitarian point of view for a moment, you know, this comes back to the issue of the more dangerous enemy and the less dangerous one. You know, the Iranians and their friends are the really potent and dangerous enemy from an Israeli point of view. So in a certain sense, more or less anything which can stand against them, you know, will be better than that block. So politics brings strange bedfellows, and I think insurgency and conflict in the Middle East certainly does too.
Hillary Clinton overnight is ramping up the pressure on Russia. What does Israel want from Russia?
Well, I think what all sides who support the downfall of Assad, including Israel in this respect, want from Russia is for Russia to withdraw its current 100% support for the regime. But until that happens, I think that Assad can sleep well, can feel pretty safe, because right now he has support from Russia financially and also in terms of armament, support from Iran, support from Hezbollah. And it's really that very strong and determined international coalition standing behind Bashar Assad, which is keeping him in his place right now. And for as long as that's there, it's very hard to see how he can be brought down. So the issue of Russia is absolutely crucial and central. Right now, we're not seeing any indication, by the way, that Russia is looking to change its stance of support towards Assad.
That's Jonathan Speier from Israel's Centre for Global Research in International Affairs, speaking to us in the Breakfast Studio earlier this morning. Well, Britain is a member of the UN Security Council, and its ambassador at the UN is Mark Lyle Grant. I spoke with him earlier from New York.
Well, I would certainly share the view of your previous interviewee, Jonathan Speier, that Russia's position is absolutely critical in this. As you know, the Security Council was frustrated for 9 months, really, by differences between the different countries on the Security Council. We put forward two strong resolutions during that time, both of which were vetoed by Russia and China. And it's only really since April that we've been able to bring the Security Council together behind a unified support for the Kofi Annan six-point peace plan. Now, that entailed some compromises, obviously, to get Russia and China on board. But what we're seeing now is that as the peace plan is coming under severe threat by the fact that the violence has continued and the brutality of the Assad regime, we're looking to increase the pressure on the Assad regime so that we have some chance of rescuing the Annan plan.
Is Russia showing any signs of helping there, though? I know the British Foreign Secretary William Hague's been holding high-level talks with Russian officials.
Exactly. William Hague was in Moscow on Monday, and President Putin has been in Berlin today. He's in Paris tomorrow. We've got a G20 summit coming up in a couple of weeks' time in the United States. Now, on all these events, there will be the opportunity to test whether Russia is really willing to work with us to increase the pressure on the Assad regime to get them to comply with the Kofi Annan peace plan. Because otherwise, I do fear that we're coming to the end of the shelf life of the peace plan, and with all the horrible alternatives that means.
Well, certainly there are signs that the rebels are preparing to throw it in. The main rebel commander is quoted in the last 24 hours as urging Kofi Annan to announce his peace plan has failed, because basically the free rebels say that it's failed. That would free insurgents from any commitment to a truce deal. I mean, is it time to admit the peace plan?
Well, we hope they wouldn't do that. We certainly hope that they wouldn't do that in the next few days, because, I mean, Kofi Annan has been in Damascus. He's in the region now. He's going to the Arab League summit on Saturday. He's coming to New York next week, and he'll be briefing the Security Council on Thursday next week. And I think we need to hear from him whether he believes that there is still some life in the peace plan, and whether he can offer the Security Council any prospect that the plan will come to fruition. I think it would be wrong for the opposition of any sort to call time on it now, because that would just simply give an excuse to the Russians to say, well, Assad is willing to play with the peace plan, but the opposition are not, and that would be counterproductive.
The United States, the soundings coming out of the US indicate that it's very concerned the Syrian conflict will trigger a wider Middle East crisis, and that's currently a view shared in Israel, as we just heard. Is the cost of inaction that price, a proxy war with Iran?
Well, I think there is certainly a risk that if the Annan plan definitively fails, then we will head for a very bloody civil war. And that civil war inevitably will become something of a proxy war, with some sides supporting the regime, some sides supporting the opposition. And it will almost certainly spill over into Lebanon and perhaps into some other neighboring countries as well. So I don't think that is an unrealistic scenario, unfortunately. And that's why we're working so hard to avoid it and to try and breathe life into Kofi Annan's plan.
So, Mark Lyle-Grant, just for people listening, trying to get a sense of where this is at, what do you think is the next move here?
Well, I think the next move, as I mentioned, over the next couple of weeks, is to ramp up the political pressure on Assad's regime to come to the table to accept all the aspects of the six-point plan and be prepared to engage in a proper political dialogue with the opposition.
But there's absolutely no sign that that will happen.
There is no sign of that happening at the moment, but I think one of the reasons there's no sign is that Russia has not yet unequivocally come off the fence and said that it is going to exert its own diplomatic and bilateral pressure, which is very considerable on Damascus behind that. And I think if Russia did make that effort, then that would make a significant difference.
Mark Lyle-Grant, Britain's ambassador to the UN, joining us there earlier this morning from UN headquarters in New York. It's 8:40 on Breakfast.